have all sorts of tests which we use to measure just about anything. We have tests which measure our physical health. We have tests to measure our intellectual health. We have tests to measure our emotional health. And yes, we even have tests which measure our relationship health. But we have not been given a test to measure our spiritual health. That is to say, not a test in some organized sort of examination. And while all of these other tests have their places and are doubtless important to us, spiritual health should be our most critical concern. Not infrequently, I find myself thinking about my own spiritual health. Am I growing spiritually? Am I making progress in Christ? Am I more materially minded or more spiritually minded? I would like this morning to presume to suggest to all of us some things which might help us to evaluate our spiritual health. And in the main, I'm going to do this in the first person, because I do not want to sound in the least accusatory. I spend considerable amounts of time in private and personal prayer. I'm not thinking about mealtime prayers. I'm not thinking about bedtime prayers. I'm thinking about those times in the course of a day when I find myself in passionate communion with God as I pray. It is not trite, I believe, to remind all of us of a little passage over in 1 Thessalonians 5 at verse 17, where the Apostle Paul admonishes us to pray without ceasing. But I also spend considerable amounts of time in the reading and studying of God's Word. It's true that all around me I am able to see the hand of God in creation. And I so very much appreciate the beauty that I see, the order that I see, the predictability that I see. But I cannot hear the voice of God. I cannot receive the instruction of God apart from the Scriptures. Jesus, in the book of John, in chapter 5, at verse 39, is recorded as having said this to people of his day: "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." How are we going to know of Christ? How are we going to know of salvation? How are we going to know of a life that pleases God apart from our searching the Scriptures? So the question comes, can we be truly spiritual people while being satisfied with a deficiency in these two very remarkable areas of life, prayer and the study of the Scriptures. I look forward to and enjoy the Lord's Day, because I enjoy coming together in the assembly of the Lord's church to worship God. God has been so good to me. He has so richly blessed my life. I am thrilled to be able to assemble with the saints on the Lord's Day to praise Him in worship. Or am I having problems counting my blessings? And more, do I have trouble attributing the blessings I'm enjoying every single day of my life to God, the giver of all good and perfect gifts? In the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, verse 10, John wrote this: I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I know very well that there is some controversy among scholars about exactly what John meant by that, but I think John meant very simply that he was involved and engaged in intense worship to God on the Lord's Day. And my question to you is this: are you in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? Or is it possible that our thoughts are caught up with a day of rest, a trip to the mall, football games and such? And do these kinds of thoughts crowd out spiritual concerns and thoughts of which we should be so concerned and in which we should be so engaged on the Lord's Day? I look forward to and enjoy the Lord's Day because I thrill to commemorate the Lord's death, to observe a feast that reminds us from week to week of His atoning death. Now, having said that, I want to also add that the songs that we sing, the prayers that are heard and prayed, and the lessons that are presented, and even the opportunity we have in the giving of our means to God, all of these things are so meaningful to me and they are so edifying to me. Yet, what can be more meaningful than the observance of the Lord's Supper? To realize that in eating the unleavened bread and drinking the fruit of the vine, I am in communion with the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, nothing can compare with that. I admit that there may be those times when we seem to be very practical in the haste that we seem to use in getting through the observance of the Lord's Supper. And perhaps that's just one of those things with which we have to cope, mentally and spiritually. But have we become so ritualistic that it is the ritual and not the meaning? I'd like to ask, of what was I thinking this morning when I took that pinch of unleavened bread, when I sipped that small sip of grape juice, fruit of the vine, what was I thinking? What were you thinking? In Acts 2, at verse 42, we're reminded by Luke in a very simple summary statement that the disciples continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread and in fellowship and in prayers. And I wonder, is it just possible that you and I may have become mentally negligent in these very simple yet so foundational and fundamental things? Can we be spiritual people and not enjoy the Lord's day? I'm not talking about the day off. I'm talking about the observance of worship. And is our observance this morning out of a sense of duty, or is it a response of love? When I must choose between material, worldly, physical activities and spiritual activities, I invariably choose the spiritual one. In our busy lives, and they are busy, and in our material society, and it is a material society, we have to make these kinds of choices frequently. Choice between the worldly, the material, and the spiritual. Now listen. How we make our choices, then, will have a great deal to say about our spiritual health. I worry, too, that our precious young people are having to make these kinds of choices earlier and earlier in their lives, and often are having to make them in the absence of good parental guidance and example. So how can we expect our young people to be spiritual giants if their parents are spiritual midgets? In the book of Psalms, in chapter 122 at verse 1, the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I want you to mentally emphasize the word glad, because that word is suggestive of the spirit we should have in the making of our choices day to day, moment to moment. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So you see, I look forward to Vacation Bible School. I look forward to Camp Bandina. I happily anticipate the mission trips. I look forward to gospel meetings. I look forward to opportunities to teach people who are not in Christ. Really? Do I really look forward to these things? Or do I look for a way to avoid them? But not just to avoid them, a way to justify in my mind that the avoidance of them is acceptable. I recognize that I have to live in the real world. I recognize that I must have an occupation, that I have recreational opportunities, that I have relationships to sustain. But the question I keep asking myself is, do I find myself using any of these kinds of things as excuses to refrain from spiritually strengthening things? Can I be a person of great spiritual health while giving priority to unspiritual activities in my life? I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and my Savior. I believe in the Bible, and that it is the Word of God. Not a word from God, but the Word from God. I believe in the church as truly the body of Jesus Christ. I believe in heaven, and I believe in hell. And if I really believe in these things, and things like these, they are going to have a determining influence in my life. And they're going to govern the way I make my choices. If I really believe in them. I find myself, as I grow older, reading Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and asking myself, is this who I am? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Listen to this. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Or am I really only giving lip service to these beliefs? I say that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and my Savior. I say that I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I say that I believe in the church as the body of Christ, that I believe in heaven and hell, but not to the point that I'm going to let those things interfere with what I want to do. If you give me a test on a piece of paper, I can pass the test because, you know, I know the answers, the stock answers. I know those answers, but how does that test reflect into the way that I'm making my choices, into the way that I'm living my life? Can we be spiritual people, really spiritual people, in the absence of deep, life-influencing conviction? I choose for my associations Christian people over those who are worldly. Now, there may be a place here for a little disclaimer, and the disclaimer would be that most assuredly I understand that we are going to have friends and relationships out of Christ. If we do not have those kinds of relationships, how are we going to be influencing people toward the gospel? In honesty, over the years, I have had and still have many dear friends who are not in Christ, but over the years also, I have sought to influence these people toward the study of the Word of God and toward conviction. truth is, the majority of the people whom I have assisted in their obedience to the gospel have first been friends. But having said that, my question is, do I really seek, do I cultivate, do I enjoy, truly enjoy my friendships in Christ? Some of the friendships which I have in the Lord, I consider to be much closer than those of many of my blood relatives. Perhaps outside of my immediate family, my wife, my children, their spouses, my grandchildren, and one of these days I hope my great-grandchildren. Outside of, by the way, a friend from Australia emailed me this past week and said, how many great-grandchildren do you have? And I was immediate in my response. I'm not old enough to have great-grandchildren. But outside of those immediate relationships, there are so many in Christ whom I consider closer than the others. In the book of Proverbs, we read that verse that says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And ordinarily we think of that as referring to Christ. And yet, let me suggest to you that there are friends in Christ who do stick closer than a physical brother. Do you prefer those relationships? Or do you prefer the relationships of people in the world and the worldly activities in which they are involved? In the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. What an amazing statement. And the statement leads me to ask the question, do you have relationships in Christ that are as deep as these which are suggested in this verse? Listen to it. My brethren, well, most of us could say that, but what about this? My dearly beloved and longed for. My dearly beloved. He's not writing about his physical family. He's writing the spiritual family. And one last thing. I enjoy conversation about the Bible, about the church, about the work of the Lord, or not. Is the Lord your life? Or is He just a compartment in your life? Someone has said, and doubtless with great accuracy, we tend to become like that which we love. My question to you this morning, what are you becoming? Just as I am, without one plea, so are the words of the song we are about to sing. In the expression, just as I am, we acknowledge that we have no claim whatsoever on the love of God, nor do we have any claim on His favor. So just as we are, without one plea, for there's none we can make, Jesus, I come. And I'm wondering this morning, as we've thought about our spiritual lives, are there those in the assembly who have never been baptized into our Lord Jesus Christ? I'm sure there are. You may think of yourself as a spiritually minded person, and you may have certainly some inclinations that are not worldly, but true spirituality is going to be found only in Christ. So just as you are this morning, why don't you come as we sing this song to say, I want to be baptized into Christ. I want to be truly a spiritually minded person. I want to be a spiritual giant. But it has to begin in Christ. Dear friend, if you've not been baptized into Christ, your sins are with you. If you would like your sins to be cleansed by the blood of Christ, then you must be baptized into Him. For so says the Word of God, so says the Scriptures, which Jesus said, they are they that testify of Me. But more this morning, as we sing this song, I'm wondering if there are folks in the assembly, Christian people, who really have not developed into spiritual people at all. People for whom perhaps our being here this morning is just a rote habit, but not much more. People for whom choice making is easy because we choose in favor of the world, but not invariably in favor of the Lord. The very least of the matter, I would ask you to think seriously about these things. If there needs to be repentance toward God, that you would repent, and that you would immediately begin a growth process. And there are those perhaps who need the prayers of brothers and sisters because of sin in their lives, prayers for encouragement. Just as you are, because you have no plea other than the cross of Jesus Christ, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.
God, I come. yourself.